What is hope? You know, it's a word that's often misused and mistaken for wishful thinking or daydreaming or desiring or even just optimism. Now, those attitudes are certainly better than pessimism and despair, but they don't have the power to change your situation like hope does. In this broadcast, you'll learn how real hope is much deeper and far stronger than positive thinking. Hope isn't optimism. Optimism can be a denial of reality, but hope never denies the facts. Optimism is positive thinking. Hope is passionate trust. Optimism focuses on what you think you can do. Hope trusts in what God can do. In other words, optimism is psychological. Hope is theological. Optimism says, it's not so bad, while hope admits, yeah, it's bad. In fact, it's really bad, but I still believe and trust in God. You see, hope is H-O-P-E, holding on, praying expectantly. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Winning the Battle Inside Me.
I read this week that by the time our troops pull out of Afghanistan, which is a deadline they've set for a couple years, we will have been in Afghanistan fighting for 13 years, which makes it the longest war in American history. But this weekend, I want to talk to you about a war that's going to go on even longer than that. It is the war against you. It is an unseen war. We call it the spiritual warfare that happens in your life from the moment you're born until the moment that you die. This war is far more personal. Now, the Bible tells us that there are three enemies that are warring against you, your family, your soul. And this battle has eternal implications. And that's why I'm going to spend this entire summer on this subject of the invisible war. Because you need to know how to fight it. Because if you don't fight it, it'll mess up your life. Now, the Bible tells us that there are three mortal enemies to your life that are out to mess up everything God wants to do in your life. The Bible calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the value system around you. The flesh is the old nature within you, and Satan is coming against you and his demons and his minions. During this series, we're going to look at what are angels and what do they do, and what are demons and what do they do. But I want us to begin the series, we actually began it last week, by looking at the battle within, because you are your own worst problem. You are your own biggest enemy. You know, I talked to a lot of people who go around and they say, you know, I've got so much stress from this boss, and I've got so much stress from the kids, and I've got so much going on from all these things, and I've got all these problems in my life. I need to go to Tahiti. The problem with that is when you go to Tahiti, you take you. I mean, it's like the people who talk to me and say, you know, I don't get it. All my relationships suck. And they move from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship. Why do I have such bad relationships? Well, what's the common denominator? You. You're the common denominator. And so something's got to change in you first. Back in 1970, before many or most of you were born, Walt Kelly, the famous cartoonist, had a pogo cartoon that became an icon in American culture. It's here on the screen. It says, Pogo says, we have met the enemy, and he is us. And it's true. I'm in my biggest problem. Most of the time, Satan doesn't even have to worry about tempting me because I'm messing up my own life. Most of the time, Satan doesn't even have to think about you because you're doing a good job of screwing up yourself. So what happens is we have to work on all three of the enemies. We're going to start first with the internal war that goes on inside you. Then we're going to look at the world, and then we're going to look at Satan.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Winning the Battle Inside Me from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the three main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now, you may identify with this letter that I got a while back. Pastor Rick, I need you to explain something to me. When I first came to Christ, everything seemed to change for the better immediately. I felt joy for being forgiven for all of my shame, and I felt peace knowing that God loved me, and I felt hope because I learned that He had a purpose for my life. It was all a great relief. But after a while, my joy seemed to shrink. And following Christ became a struggle. Old habits reared up their head again, and I felt the tug of old ways coming back. Now, this really frustrated me because I thought I was through with all of that. I want to do the right thing, but I lack the ability to do it, and I can't seem to fulfill all of my good intentions. I know what is right, and I know what is wrong. And I really don't want to do wrong anymore. And I know God doesn't want me to do wrong. So why do I still make bad choices? What's wrong with me? It's so frustrating. I sometimes wonder if maybe I'm not really a Christian. Now, if you've ever felt that way, you came to church on a good weekend, because you're not the only one. Fortunately, you're not alone. Every other believer has experienced this. And Paul himself, the greatest Christian who ever lived, who wrote most of the New Testament, next to Jesus Christ, is probably, without a doubt, the greatest Christian who ever lived. He talks about this internal war in a very famous chapter of the Bible. It's called Romans chapter 7. What we're going to do this weekend is we're going to look at the consequences or the conditions that happen in your life when this battle is going on. I call it the emotional costs, the emotional costs of having this battle in your life. And Paul says that there are six things that happen in your life when you don't know how to deal with this battle that's going on inside of you. And then Paul explains the cause of this battle, and then he explains the cure. And we're going to look at that both this week and next week. Now, I want to just read you this passage first. It's up here on the screen, Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25. Here's what Paul says. And I really love this because it's a gut level, keeping it real kind of approach. Paul doesn't mince any words. He's transparent about his own struggles. He's very honest about the frustration he feels. Verse 15, he says this: I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to. I do what I hate. Now, I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong. And my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I'm breaking. But I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin inside me that is stronger than I am, that makes me do these evil things. In other words, you know I don't want to gossip, but I end up doing it. I don't want to be impatient, but I end up being impatient. I don't want to say bad things to my kids, but I do. I know how to take better care of my health, but I don't. He just goes on and on about all the things in life. He says, it's sin inside me that's stronger than I am and makes me do these things. He says, I know I'm rotten inside as far as my old sin nature is concerned. But no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in its grip. He actually starts to seem a little discouraged here, like it's going to be unchangeable. He says, seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will as far as my new nature is concerned. But there's something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war within my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin, my old ways. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank God, it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Now, can you hear the frustration in this, in Paul's voice? Now, Paul is bearing his soul. And what's going on here is he's explaining the battle that happens in your life when two things occur. When you try to please God by your own strength, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to fail when you try to do it on your own strength. And number two, when you try to change things in your life from bad to good by simply willpower, it's not going to work. And you're going to eventually give up. Now, the encouragement that ought to be here is Paul is not a new believer. This guy's not a novice. He is a mature believer. He's writing a book that's actually in the Bible. He is a missionary to all of the Roman Empire. He is probably, as I said, the strongest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus himself. And yet he says, you know, sometimes I just can't figure it out. And there's things in me I want to do that are right, but I don't do them. And the things that are wrong that I end up doing. We're going to look this weekend in detail at this week and next week at how to win the battle inside you to change the things that you want to change but just can't seem to change. Now, I want us to begin by looking at the cost of this emotional battle going on inside of you, the emotional drain of trying to do the right thing on your own power is exhausting, and eventually you get worn out. And Paul lists six emotional consequences. I want you to write these down. See if you identify with any of them. He says the first thing that happens when I try to fight the internal spiritual battle going on me on my own power is I get confusion. Confusion. And he says that in the first verse here. Verse 15, he says, I don't understand myself. I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to. I do what I hate. Now, before we even get into this, I want you to circle all of the I's in this verse. I don't understand myself, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to, what I hate. He's saying something's wrong with me. Now, in this one verse, he uses the first person pronoun, I, six times. Now, this is the key to understanding this chapter. These are two famous chapters in the Bible. Romans 7 is about the defeated Christian life, and Romans 8, which we're going to look at next week, is about the victorious Christian life. And in Romans 7, Paul uses the word I over and over and over. In fact, in just 12 verses, he uses the word I 27 times. He uses the word my 6 times. He uses the word me 6 times. He uses the word myself 2 times. In all, he uses the first person pronouns 41 times in 12 verses. Paul has an eye problem. And you have an eye problem. And I have an eye problem. And the problem is, I try to do it all my way, and that's going to cause me to fail. I am my biggest problem. Now notice he says, I don't understand myself. I'm perplexed. Now that ought to encourage you that even Paul, this great mature saint, doesn't have all the answers. If Paul doesn't have all the answers for life, it's okay for you not to have all the answers to life. It's okay for me to go, I can't figure out why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I've stopped trying to judge other people's motives. You know why? I can't even figure out my own half the time. You don't know why you do what you do half the time. Why can't I stop doing bad things, and why don't I consistently do the stuff I know is good for me? He says it's confusing. The second thing that happens when I don't know how to fight this battle is guilt and shame. And God doesn't want you going around with a bunch of guilt and shame, but that's what happens when you try to fight a spiritual battle with human tools, like willpower. He says in verse 16, the next verse, I know perfectly well what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws I am breaking. And what's he saying? He goes, I know what I'm doing is wrong, and you do too. When you do it and you know it's wrong, and then you get a bad conscience. Circle the word conscience. Do you know where that word comes from? It's a Latin word. It comes from the word con, which means with in Latin, and science or scienta in Latin, which means knowledge. Conscience means you do something with full knowledge that what you're doing is wrong. You're not kidding yourself. I know I shouldn't eat this. I know I shouldn't watch this. I know I shouldn't say this. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I do it with full knowledge, which means my conscience goes on tilt. And it says, danger, Will Robinson, something's wrong here. Something is wrong. Guilt and shame happens. Do you remember Jesus, the night before he was to go to the cross, he goes into this garden called the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, because he knows he's going to take the guilt of the entire world on him in his life. And he takes three of his best friends, Peter, James, and John, in with him. He says, look, you guys, I just need you to hang out with me. I'm going through a tough time. It's an emotional conflict. I'm going to go over here and pray for a while, and I want you to just kind of hang out here. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to give me any advice. I don't even need you to pray. I just want you to hang out with me. And sometimes that's all a good friend does. A good friend doesn't always have to have the answer. A good friend just shows up. They show up in your life. They walk in when everybody else walks out. And so Jesus says to Peter, James, John, you guys just hang out here while I go over here and pray, and I'm getting ready to go and die on the cross tomorrow. Well, Peter, James, and John fall asleep, and they're sawing logs. And Jesus comes back and goes, could you guys not hang out with me just for an hour or two? Could you, without going to sleep? And then Jesus says to Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Been there, done that. There's been a lot of times in your life when you were willing to do the right thing, but you just didn't seem to have the power to do it. And that causes confusion, and it causes guilt and shame. The third thing that causes, when you don't know how to fight the battle going on inside you, is it causes compulsions and addictions. Compulsions and addictions. What is that? It's when you start to do something so many times, it becomes habitual in your life, it becomes a habit, and then you cannot stop from doing it. You cannot not do it. It becomes a compulsion. It becomes a habit. It becomes an addiction. Paul says this in the next verse. He said, you know, if I do these bad things enough, I get addicted to them. He said, but I can't help myself.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You may feel totally defeated today. And you may be thinking, I just want to give up. I want you to listen to me very carefully to what I say right now. If you're ready to give up, that's good. You can stop trying to do everything on your own because it's impossible. You can't live life without Jesus. But Jesus can empower you with new life. You see, the fact is, all of our best intentions are not good enough. The alcoholic who says, I'll never take another drink, is going to fail on his own. And the angry person who says, I'll never lose my temper again, is going to fail on his or her own. And the person who's controlled by porn, who says, I'm never going to look at it again, is going to fall again. How many promises to yourself have you broken? The only way to win the battle inside you is to let the Holy Spirit do it. You have to admit that you can't live the Christian life on your own power. You want to do the right thing, but you end up doing wrong. And that's frustrating. So let's just be honest and just say, this isn't working. Let me pray with you. And I want you to pray this prayer right now. Just say this. Dear God, you know the confusion in my life. You know the frustration I feel. You know the guilt and the shame. And you know the compulsions and the habits and the addictions that are secret to everybody else but me and you. And you know how many times I've made promises to myself that I haven't kept. Dear God, I need you to give me victory over these problems. I can't win this battle inside me. I ask that you deepen my understanding of what Jesus Christ has already done for me. Show me how to let go and how to let your Spirit live through me. Help me to challenge the lies that Satan puts in my mind and to challenge the lies that I tell myself. I want to know the truth about me, and I want it to set me free. If you prayed that prayer and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you're fighting this battle on your own and you're going to fail. So you need to say this: Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life right now. Please live in me. I don't understand it, but I want to learn to love you and trust you and follow you. And most important, I want to let you live through me by your Spirit. So I pray this in your name. Amen. I'm Rick with this word of encouragement. Be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.